What's up and welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour with hosts Tyler Gunther, John Bosch, Doug Eddy to bring us all inside the huddle. Whether it's in season or off season, this is your spot for the best and in-depth Dynasty Fantasy football advice. So let's not waste any more time and get right into it with Tyler, John, and Doug with another Dynasty Happy Hour.
Welcome back into the Dynasty Happy Hour. Woo! It is week 14. I hope you did well in your playoffs. I am your host, Doug Eddy, and I'm here with my co-host, Tyler Gunther. John is taking the night off. He's had a long night, and he's currently sleeping on his couch. Tyler, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing great. I escaped a lot of matchups that I feared, like with Russell Wilson. I actually had in the league that we're in, the UDPL, I had Truth Bisky as my second quarterback, which worked out perfect.
You're welcome.
Man, it was a pretty good week for me. I'm kind of hanging in there in the league with Brandon Cooks. Need a little points from you at the end of this game. But if I can win that game, I think I've only lost one game I need to win.
Yeah, I did pretty well this week. I had a bye week and won. I won in all the other playoff. No, I actually lost in one playoff league that I was in. I think I only scored like 75 points. I had no business making the playoffs in that league. It's just a redraft league that I'm in with some other New England analysts. And I lost Odell Beckham Jr. and Dalvin Cook for the season and ended up in fourth place somehow.
Wow.
And then I got bounced in the playoffs. Totally expected it. So it is what it is. I'll be better next year.
Yeah, I hear you. Oh. I have those two players on a team. It's a league I love. I'm the commissioner. I created it with a bunch of home friends. I am in it right now. Championship for the toilet bowl. That's how bad. Oh. Like, you did well with those two gone. I am not faring so well.
Yeah, probably one of my best teams I actually didn't make the playoffs with and ended up in eighth place. And I scored like the fourth most points, but I digress. I don't want to talk about it. But what I do want to talk about is this podcast. So we are going to frame it up. We're going to talk about some injuries that happened in the first week of the playoffs. Then Tyler and I are going to go over some observations that we had as we watched most of the games. But I have a really important question for you, Tyler.
Yeah.
Are you going to go see Star Wars this week?
Not this week, but it's
you. Or are you waiting?
It's a tradition for me to go on my birthday with my wife. We have somebody watch the kids, but back in the day it was the kid, but now it's two.
Now it's plural now.
Yes, it is plural. So we usually have that happen and then, you know, popcorn and everything, watch the movie. My wife is not a fan, but she does it for me. So that's when
isn't that sweet? She sucks it up and is like, I'll go, fine.
Yeah, she just loves popcorn. I mean, you could say it is the worst movie in the world, and you're like, there's gonna be movie theater popcorn with a giant tub of pop.
Is she gonna put a sweatshirt on backwards and just eat it out of the hood?
Yeah, I would not be shocked.
Like an absolute popcorn trough, just like
that's awesome
the whole time.
That's a great idea. How come nobody's ever thought of that?
I saw it somewhere. It's not my original idea, so I take no credit, but I did see it somewhere, and I thought it was hilarious because you could just fill your hood with popcorn and then just like dip in and be like hands-free. It's great. That's
clever.
The only tricky thing is if you have really buttery popcorn, you could totally ruin that sweatshirt very quickly.
Now, going to popcorn, I know we're starting off with popcorn stories. The movie Miracle, you know, the hockey story of 1980.
Yes, Kurt Russell. Yep.
Yes. God, Kurt Russell. Love him.
We
went for a school like getaway, and we're in high school seniors, and I'm sitting there eating the popcorn and it's gone. So I'm like, it's like pretty much gone. I'm like, here, do you want it? My buddy had no money. He's like, yeah, of course. He's a bigger man. He was an offensive lineman for a school.
Nice.
No joke. The popcorn was gone and he was still doing the motion like he was eating it. And I let him do it for a little bit, and I'm like, you know, you can get more. He's like, oh, you can? And I'm like, you don't need to act like you're eating popcorn. He's like, I didn't even realize I was doing it.
It was like just a psychosomatic, like, hey, yeah. I keep doing it.
It was
that's hilarious. Perfect. Just look over and be like, what are you doing?
I was like, what the hell is going on?
Oh, that's wild. When's your birthday?
December 28th.
Oh, right after Christmas. Nice.
Yeah.
I think I'm probably going to see Star Wars probably a matinee next week, and then my son, who's going to be 5 in May, he's been really into Star Wars lately, and I think he's good enough to sit through a movie, so we'll probably go. My wife has the week of Christmas off, Nice. So I think we'll take him when he's on break from preschool, and we'll take him during the day. So that way, if he gets a little, you know, skittish or afraid, or just, you know, he has ADD because he's four, then it's not a big deal.
I do, and I'm 30, yeah, so.
Yeah, same here. I'm just going to be looking at the screen like, what did I miss? So it'll be good on a second viewing. Hopefully I'll be able to actually watch it. But anywho, he sat through Trolls when we were on a cruise and did well. So
that's a great movie.
There's hope.
I mean,
there is hope.
No, pretty much Star Wars. It looks great. I'm excited.
The early reviews say it's absolutely phenomenal. So they're saying best Star Wars film since Empire.
Wow.
Which I know is high praise. I really liked Rogue One, to be honest.
Rogue One was good.
I liked it more than most, but yeah, high praise, so I'm interested to see for myself what it's all about. So let's roll into some injuries this week. Here's the big one, Tyler. I know this affects you somewhere.
In four
ooh,
teams where I'm actually moving on.
You know, it's been a rough year if you play in Superflex leagues. It's been brutal this year. So Carson Wentz tore his ACL in the game against the Rams. It's official as of today. He is donezo for the year. So it's Nick Foles' time. Woof.
Everybody's hoping for what? 2013 Nick Foles? I mean, I know Eagle.
He had the seven touchdown game, was it?
Yeah, the 27 touchdowns, two picks year he had, yeah, with Chip Kelly. I think that was 13 or 12, but.
Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah, I think they're kind of hoping that happens, but. I mean, he's not a terrible backup, and he's not a terrible quarterback to have if you have ones. I know I have absolutely no money in the leagues where I have Wentz. So
to get Foles, yeah. Because you know Foles probably isn't really owned at all.
No, not at all. Yeah. I mean, you got maybe we should start handcuffing quarterbacks.
You know, this year with Aaron Rodgers and Deshaun Watson and Wentz, and we've seen other, you know, quarterbacks miss multiple games during the season.
I mean, Carr, he seems like he's missing the whole year.
Mariota. Yeah.
Mariota.
Has he even played lately? I don't know. That whole breakout is still locked in the box. I think
breaking out is the rash.
The rash of the Tennessee Titans offensive play calling.
Oh.
Anywho, yeah, so we lost Carson Wentz for the season. Tough blow. I have him in one of my redraft leagues. Luckily, I have a serviceable quarterback in Cam Newton as a backup, which is nice. I actually traded for Wentz early in the season when Cam wasn't doing anything. So it was nice, and now I've got Cam, and he's got a pretty favorable stretch down the road, so hopefully I can win that league. Let's go. Another quarterback that has been a pleasant surprise and has been really a top 10 quarterback on the season, Josh McCown. Believe it or not. And he is now out for the year. He broke his hand on his non-throwing arm. and he is out for the year, and it looks to be Bryce Petty time. And you know what that means? When it's Bryce Petty time, it's Robbie Anderson time.
And it's start the Saints defense next week.
I picked them up in a league, and I'm rolling them right into my starting lineup.
Yeah.
So that's a savvy move if you have team defenses and they might be available, then go get them. And then two other quarterback injuries this week, just to put a little cherry on top. I know Tom Savage wasn't having a great year, but he got completely bundled and was out of the game, tried to re-enter the game. He's already been declared out for next week. TJ Yates is going to be the starter. I have him in the UDPL, believe it or not. I'm not competing for anything. I'm not competing for anything, but I have TJ Yates and I have Scott Tolzien still, I think, which I don't even know why I still own him. So TJ Yates looks to start against Jacksonville, and I think DeAndre Hopkins will be perfectly fine. So if you're sweating putting Hopkins in your lineup, don't get cute. What did he do against Patrick Peterson a few weeks ago?
Oh yeah, that's great. But
he had 80 yards and a touchdown.
Come on. Yes, I fear if you have Hopkins. I feel good going against him because you're not going to have a gigantic game. But I think he'll be serviceable. I don't think he'll eclipse 100 yards. But, I mean, Baldwin did it. But Baldwin also, like, Wilson had two of his three interceptions throwing at Baldwin. So, I mean, the matchup isn't great at all.
Well, Baldwin's also out of the slot most of the time. So,
they shadow. I mean, here's the thing. Those corners shadow.
Yeah, here's the thing. I know those corners are good, but Hopkins is a top, three receiver in the league. I think he can have a serviceable game here without too much of a worry. I think he's matchup proof, to be quite honest. I think he's shown that when he faced off against Jimmy Smith, and then Patrick Peterson in back-to-back weeks. He was successful. So I think against Jacksonville, here's what I'm saying. Don't get cute with your lineups.
No.
Don't be like, oh, I have to bench DeAndre Hopkins. It's the Jacksonville Jaguars guy. No, don't do it. Don't do it. And then last but not least, Tyler's boy up in Buffalo, Nathan Peterman, left that game with a head injury. And it's already been announced by Sean McDermott that Tyrod Taylor is going to be the starting quarterback next week again, now Woo. That his injury is better and it's not going to be like a foot and a half of snow in Buffalo. That was a really fun game to watch.
It was so bad. I actually went back.
It was bad, but it was visually, it was beautiful.
Yes. Because anybody who is in the Midwest really wants a lot of snow for Christmas. I mean, why do you want to see grass when it's Christmas?
That is an oddity, yeah.
And lately, this winter, it's been kind of lacking snow. So when you actually see that, it gives you hope. And you're just like, oh.
True.
But yeah, it's fun to watch just the running backs have their way in a game like that. Because, I mean, like McCoy seems to have traction on any turf, ice.
That touchdown run, I don't know how he didn't lose his footing.
I noticed it during that touchdown run that he found the hash marks, which were actually swept off, so there's no snow.
It was in between, though, that it was pretty deep.
Yeah, I mean, he started in the hash and then had to roll out, but he gained that speed in the hash to where he could feel comfortable on the snow.
Yeah, it was an impressive run, the walk-off victory for the Bills. And so Tyrod Taylor's going to start again. He's got a favorable schedule down the stretch, too. So if you're in a 2QB league and Tyrod's maybe your number three guy, it could be very handy here in the next couple weeks.
Yeah, like in UDPL, I lost Wentz. I get Tyrod back. So
not terrible.
Not terrible at all. Better than, who would be my... I don't think I have another quarterback, so thank God.
That's completely fair. We did have a couple wide receiver injuries this week. Amari Cooper looks like he re-injured his ankle. That was relatively early in that game. And he left, and he was coming back from a concussion. There was kind of didn't know if he was going to play or not. But he re-injured that ankle, so who knows what his status is going to be for next week in a pretty decent matchup against Dallas. I don't know that you can really trust him anyway.
Now I got a question for you, Doug.
Sure, absolutely.
Where are you taking Cooper in a startup?
I think, to me, I know he was pretty much a first-round lock last year. To me, he's fallen out of that. I think I would be comfortable picking Cooper probably mid-second or later.
And I think the Dynasty diehards are going to take him earlier than that.
You're probably right.
So I'm actually with you. I have him in a league, and I hope he has one big game towards the end of the year where I can actually trade him. And kind of let it be somebody else's. Like, if he explodes, okay. But I'm not trading him cheap. I'm going to try to get his value. But, I mean, the risk is there. He seems like an even worse Julio. Always on the injury report. Has a gigantic game. Then, you get these duds. At least Julio gives you
At least Julio's
points.
Been relatively consistent.
Yeah, to an extent. But I mean, like Cooper.
Yeah, it's been so frustrating. Absolutely.
It's very frustrating. And his value is nice because he's got that name and his value doesn't drop to the point where you can't sell and get nothing. But I do fear in the middle of next year, I think that could happen. I think he could start falling into that Sammy Watkins territory that happened this year where it was kind of like, I don't know. I don't want to play with it. I'll give you a first rounder when last year around this time you could get three firsts. And
for Amari, absolutely. Yeah. So so Riley Bymaster put together a 2018 mock draft, super flex tight end premium, and Amari Cooper went 112.
Wow.
In that particular league.
I mean, I know Chad Parsons from UTH. I like his thinking because Cooper did put on a lot of weight to kind of build muscle. I don't think it worked for him. I honestly don't. And I, like Chad said, maybe he'll get back to that Alabama weight where he was like 209, 210, gets a little faster, a little shiftier, and becomes the Amari Cooper that we fell in love with.
You think that might be the same case with Martavis?
Yeah, I honestly do. I think the whole gaining weight thing.
He's got a really slight frame. And do you put a lot of beef on that? I mean, that's...
And like Amari looked fine to me last year at 210. Like he looked shifty. I mean, he wasn't the gigantic go up and get it player, but I think people are trying to push that on him too much. He's a route runner. That's what he needs to stick with.
Right. Yeah, I agree with that. You know, maybe he trims down a little bit and gets some of that speed back. His arms looked really big this year.
Yeah, he's going full Melvin Gordon.
Nice. So the other injury was also a re-injury, and that was Kelvin Benjamin, who actually hauled in a touchdown pass in that crazy snow game and looked pretty decent. I mean, he was getting a lot of targets. I mean, there was like 10 yards downfield because it was like an absolute blizzard. But he re-injured his knee. It looks at this this moment in time, there's no status on him. So keep an eye on that if you're looking to start him. He also has a very favorable schedule down here, down the stretch. And I actually think I'm not a I hate Kelvin Benjamin kind of guy. I kind of like Kelvin Benjamin at the price you can get him for.
You like him a little bit.
Well, he did have the national championship ceiling grab. And I've met Kelvin Benjamin. Very nice young man. I will tell him that. And he's just as old as I am. He's actually 39.
Yeah. I think his birthday is today, so it might be 40.
Yeah. Hey, happy 40th, Kelvin Benjamin. Looking for a nice bounce back 2018. You know, I don't think his dynasty value is terrible right now. I think a lot of people in the dynasty community still despise Kelvin Benjamin. And I'm okay with that. I'll take advantage. Yes, I know, Tyler, you're one of them. I would take advantage of that and get him on your rosters if the price is right in the offseason, because I think a lot of people, you know, he's going to be probably staying in. But is he a free agent this year or is that next year?
I want to say next year.
Fifth-year option, I think they can pick up.
Yep.
Yeah. So
now going with the receiver there, kind of piggybacking, Jordan Matthews. I actually,
free agent.
In a contract, I had to drop him to get years to bring up Njoku. I know it was a tough decision because he's a free agent, but what do you think him and I'll kind of put them together, Moncrief, where do you think they will actually be a year from now? Like, Matthews is that slot guy. Moncrief is a high upside kind of touchdown guy. I thought about it the other day, and do you think Moncrief could be like a Terrence Williams at best? It scares me because I love Moncrief. I love Moncrief, but
here's the thing. Terrence Williams isn't terrible at real life football. He's just not a fantasy football relevant player.
That's the thing. It all depends on landing spot for me. I mean, if Jordy or Cobb move on and say they do keep Montgomery at running back, maybe he lands on the Packers, but they like to grow internally.
Yeah, they would be like, oh, we're going to promote Geronimo Allison and Trevor Davis. They would be stubborn. They wouldn't sign somebody.
Yeah, they're kind of in that tier where you're just like, they could be good, and they could just...
I think they both sign one-year deals.
Okay.
I think they both sign one-year deals somewhere. I wouldn't be surprised to see Moncrief end up in San Francisco. So I know that the, you know,
Robinson going there. That's a huge spot for Aaron.
What if you got both, and you had Allen Robinson, Marquise Goodwin, and you had some sort of Moncrief...
My head would explode.
...weaved in there.
I'd instantly become a Sam Fran.
That would be sexy. That would be sexy as hell, wouldn't it?
Because I love A-Rob. I love Moncrief. And Goodwin, you can't help but cheer for the guy. So
yeah, we'll talk a little bit about him later.
So it's like, man, that offense would 6 to midnight.
I unfortunately think one of these big free agent wide receivers is going to end up on the Bears, and I'm going to hate it.
But we like Trubisky. He's showing well.
I don't mind Trubisky, but it's the offense and, you know, the Jordan Howard and, I mean, I don't know.
By the way, rewatching the game, going to Jordan Howard, is he Derrick Henry to you? Very upright.
No. He's upright for sure.
So upright.
If I had to comp Jordan Howard to somebody, maybe like poor man's Eddie George.
Yeah. Eddie George who can't catch.
Well, Eddie George could have decent hands out of the backfield. But
that's what I mean. I mean, Jordan Howard.
Yeah, I'm trying to think off the top of my head. Yeah, I would say Eddie. He just reminds me of that, you know, 3 yards in a cloud of dust. I mean, Eddie George did have some dynamic plays, and Jordan Howard's had a few here and there. But he is upright. He's kind of lumbering. He's effective at times. I mean, he's a good running back too. I mean,
yeah, Lauren, that's what RB1. He is.
Yeah, he's going to have RB1 weeks like he did last week, absolutely. But they also, the thing with the Bears is they're so game script dependent. You know what a Jordan Howard game is going to be. It's going to be games that are going to be close. So next week when he plays Detroit, that's going to be a Jordan Howard game. A, because Detroit's running run defense sucks. And Detroit's struggling right now offensively. The Bears are good defensively, so that's going to be a close game. It'll be a Jordan Howard game.
Yeah, look at this. I heard it here first. Look at the, this week. We're giving start, sit advice. And, I mean, we're just firing, rapid fire, just dynasty questions.
That's how we do it.
All John's asleep. Just
He's missing out on the party, but you know what? He's been working hard, but he's only working a few more days, and then he's off till like the 5th of January, so I don't feel too bad for him.
I actually
have to work this Friday. What kind of crap is that?
Yeah, but Doug hardly works, if anybody is actually wondering.
That is Doug very true. I work occasional seasonal at Best Buy, and I'm required to work every so often. And even though it's the holiday season, my boss called me. He's like, can you work this weekend? I'm like, well, I got something going on Saturday. I'm like, I can work Friday. He's like, yeah, just work Friday night. You're good. I'm like, cool.
Nice.
Thanks. I have a nice setup there. So last but not least, from the injury standpoint, the big one other than Wentz scared the shit out of people this week. And that was Alvin Kamara on Thursday night, went out with the concussion, and the fantasy community wept hard because Alvin Kamara, probably if you had him on your roster, you are probably in your playoffs. So Kamara leaves after he had like 30 yards from scrimmage. He's out for the game. Everyone's panicking. There's fire in the streets. There's that dog sitting at a table with a coffee cup, fire around him. This is fine, was Twitter, with Alvin Kamara missing that game. The good news is, if you survive this week without Alvin Kamara, week 15, he looks to be healthy and back from that concussion. So fear not. He'll be back to save you.
Yeah, and he was in line for a gigantic game.
He was in his hometown. They kept feeding him the ball. I'm like, oh man, this is going to be a massive Kamara game.
He was going to go off. I mean, there was no way. It literally looked like it's going to be one of those 30 points in PPR type weeks.
Yeah.
And if he lost you your week, that sucks. And if you made it, like, thank God I did in my two teams I have him in. Oh, you can live to breathe another day.
Yeah, absolutely. That was definitely a scare. Everyone was like what we like to call tilting, if you will, pretty hard, because he's probably your best player on your roster at this point, at least from the last 5 weeks. He's been scoring 20 plus fantasy points every week. So, and then Ingram had the whole backfield to himself, and
it's literally Tevin Coleman and Devonta Freeman. Those two, like, one needs the other.
It's like peanut butter and jelly,
or peanut butter and pickles.
What is that, a Midwest thing?
It's delicious. You got to try it.
I actually have a peanut sensitivity, so I cannot eat peanut butter.
Did the peanut butter do something to you when you were a child?
No, I used to eat peanut butter by the fistfuls when I was a kid. And a couple years ago, I was coming home from work. I stopped at a 7-Eleven, grabbed a drink, and I grabbed some trail mix. And I was like, do-do-do, eating it on the way home. And all of a sudden, my lips started to swell. And I'm like, that's weird. I've eaten peanuts my whole life. No problem. So now, it was fun during Halloween. My son wanted me to open a Reese's peanut butter cup, and I'm like, yeah, sure, I can do that. So even opening it and smelling it made me start to get like a tingle and a little bit of swelling. So yeah, I'm not going to Texas Roadhouse anytime soon. Or Five Guys, probably. I'll have to like have someone order it and then have someone go in and get it for me.
That sucks.
Yeah. I'll have to wear like a surgical mask like I'm in China. And they're like, what's up with the mask? I'd be like, I have a peanut allergy, but I really want this goddamn Five Guys burger. Anywho.
It's worth it. They're great.
All I want for Christmas is to eat peanuts again.
Just one day. Give me the choice.
I'll have a peanut butter and Fluffernutter sandwich and just call it a day. Do you guys have Fluffernutter out there?
No, we do not.
No?
No.
What? I know it's predominantly an East Coast thing.
Yeah.
There needs to be some investigation on Fluffernutter. Have you ever had Fluff?
Marshmallow fluff?
Yeah, marshmallow fluff. That's what Fluffernutter is.
That stuff is not right. You should not be able to eat that.
Well, it's like eating sugar, like straight sugar, and just you know, you're just eating sugar is what you're doing. But it is good. I'm all about the peanut butter and fluff sandwich.
Really? That does not sound good.
It's so good. If you are a fan of peanut butter and fluff sandwiches, you can at us.
If you are a fan of peanut butter and pickle sandwiches, you can ask.
See, I would have to be, that would be like a 90-10 vote for peanut butter and fluff versus peanut butter and pickles.
Really?
Peanut butter and pickles. Peanut butter and pickles. It's fucking weird.
All right. You guys go and try it and let me know, because it's great.
Well, I won't be trying it, so I'm gonna judge from afar with a set of judging eyes.
with the ET biohazard suit on.
Or you'll see me on video with like a peanut butter and pickle sandwich, like dead because I'm all asphyxiated and I don't have an EpiPen.
Don't do that.
What happened to Doug? Yeah, peanut butter and pickles, man.
Peanut butter got him.
It got him. All right, let's move on to our observations while we're getting sidetracked. But it's fun sidetracking. I hope you enjoy. So, Tyler, you've got some observations this week. I want to hear.
All right, let's start off with Mike Evans. Mike Evans had, another player that has not helped you at all during the big push or run. He has a total of, I want to say, 8 fantasy points. Maybe 9 if you're in decimal scoring, but
so yeah, over the last 7 weeks, he has like 30 points in standard scoring, so he's averaging about 4.5 points a game over the last almost two months.
He has 700 yards, maybe 800 in the whole season.
Mm-hmm. He hasn't eclipsed 100 once.
No, I am a little worried about him. Jameis isn't just targeting him, they have other weapons, which we will talk about later, but. I mean, O.J. Howard is coming up, and he's getting more play. He looks better. I don't know, man. I love Evans. He's my wide receiver 1. That will actually change once we get rankings up in the new site. But man, I don't know where do you have Evans?
Evans is, I mean, he's still a first rounder for me. I think right now it's I've got DeAndre Hopkins, Beckham. I've got Antonio Brown ahead of him. And that's probably it for wide receivers. And then Evans still.
Yeah.
I'm not overly worried. I think here's the thing. So I think a lot of people panic when it comes to underperforming big name players that they've invested a lot in, i.e. Hopkins and Gurley last year. So sure. I think that they'll figure it out and that Evans will have, I mean, he's hit 1,000 yards every single season. I don't know if he's going to do it this year, obviously.
I honestly think he's in for a big stretch because he's quiet, but I think in the locker room, I bet he goes up to Winston and is like, hey, look at me. I'm 6'5". Throw me the ball.
I think it's Turd Cutter's fault.
Oh, God. The librarian?
Yeah, I think he needs to go, and they need to figure something else out. And I know Winston's hurt, and like you said, there are other weapons there, but he's your hog, man. You throw him the ball. That's what they did last year, and it worked. They almost made the playoffs at 9-7. And then you go away from it, and you're what are they, 4-10, 4-9?
Yeah, last year in the AFC, you would be probably a division winner.
Yeah. I mean, this year in the AFC, you'd be a division winner with that record. But yeah, I don't really slide Evans too far. I did a dynasty deal a few weeks ago, a straight up deal in a tight end premium league. I traded away Gronk, and I got Mike Evans. And I thought that was a great deal for me. I already had Antonio Brown and Dez Bryant. And I was like, my tight ends, I had some young up-and-comers, so I was okay with it. But to get a top 5 or 6 asset, like, that was a no-brainer. Even in tight end, I mean, Gronk's 28. Like, how much longer does he have to play at an elite level, plus all those injuries? Like, give me Mike Evans all day. Yeah.
Doug, you and grabbing those young tight ends.
As long as they're over 18, we're good.
Devy League.
Yeah, those Devy League. Those I got to look out for those freshman ages.
Yeah, they'll get you in trouble.
So I've got some good observations. I think this is a hot one, especially after this particular player's performance tonight. That's Kenyon Drake and Alex Collins. Are you a believer, Tyler, or are these guys just like plug-and-play replacement-level players? Or are these guys in the offseason that you're saying, hey, I'm going to try to get these guys while there might be doubts in other people's minds because I see them having a significant role in 2018? What are your thoughts? And then I'll give you mine.
Alex Collins. I think everybody knows I've been a fan of since he came out. Me and my buddy Lou at work have just been touting this guy. First, second we watched tape, I liked him. Seattle, after they cut him, we were kind of in awe that they cut him because I thought he
might. That was a head scratcher, yeah.
Yeah, I thought he could have been their best running back. I liked him better than Rawls, Lacy, Procise.
I can't believe they kept Eddie Lacy over Alex Collins.
I completely agree, but I do think the new team helped him because Baltimore has that in-your-face attitude. And
they're a smash-mouth team. They always have been. Yeah.
And I think Alex Collins just ate that up, and they love him there in Baltimore now. Like, he is a fan favorite. The whole Irish dance thing is catching on super quick. I think he is the real deal. He is a high-end RB2 for me. Okay. And I don't think people are evaluating him as so.
What do you think?
He's going to get 1,000 yards. He's going to.
Yeah. And his next 2 weeks, it's like Cleveland and Indy, I think. So, yeah. He's going to be fine. So, I guess my question is, you know, he's probably one of the harder players of value. In this startup that we're doing that I referenced earlier, I got him at the 10-10.
See, that is crazy to me.
So, I was looking through and I was like, oh, I wonder if Alex Collins is still available. And I look through and it's the 10th round, 10th pick. And I'm like, well, Alex Collins is still available. No brainer. Doink.
Yeah. He's an RB2. Easy. I mean, it seems like every week he gets 2 touchdowns now.
He went that stretch with like a month without hitting pay dirt. But now Buck Allen, he could have had 3 touchdowns in that game. But Buck, they seem to want to keep using Buck Allen, who I don't mind. But I just mind it because it's like, give Alex Collins the ball. He's your pounder. Get him the touchdowns. Don't be cute and give it to Buck Allen.
Yep, they would have won the game last night if they would have just fed Collins the whole game. But yeah, I love Collins. I think if you give up a late first, I honestly would do it.
Okay.
Right. And going to Kenyon Drake, I'm going to be honest with you, was not a huge fan. I didn't think he had a 3-down back potential. I actually watched the game tonight.
30 touches.
I was in awe. Like I liked what I saw. He seems to have more power and seems to be thicker than he was last year.
At least lower body, like in the thighs, he seems thicker than he was.
He was very skinny and upright when he came out, and I did not like that about him. I thought he
certainly looks the part.
Yes, and I would buy. I think you can get him for a second round pick in the offseason, or even now if your trade deadline hasn't passed. I would buy. I mean, Miami, they drafted him in the 3rd, so that's pretty high draft pedigree. They like him, and I think they're going to stick with him. I mean, why go out and draft somebody? Same with Alex Collins. Baltimore, why draft somebody when you got so many other needs?
Well, and you also have, I mean, they still have Buck Allen. They'll possibly have a returning Kenneth Dixon if they decide they want to stay with him. Terrence West, he's out. Yeah, he's a Jag. And then they still have Danny Woodhead. So, yeah, I don't see Baltimore. And, you know, they went all defense in this draft, I believe. I don't think if they do anything on offense, it's going to be at the wide receiver position.
That and tight end. I think they'll probably
need to do something at tight end because it's that tight end group. I mean, Ben Watson is old AF. And Max Williams and Nick Boyle, no thanks. So,
yeah, Max Williams looks like he's grooming to be an offensive tackle now. So
yeah, he's just not very good. But Kenyon Drake is. I'm very intrigued by Drake because, like you said, I wasn't a big fan of him coming out of college either. But it looks like he's put it together. He looked the part tonight, and you know the previous couple weeks he has too. That spin move that he put on Patrick Chung just put him right in the car wash. Just Patrick Chung had him dead nuts in the backfield, and Drake gave him a spin, little hand on the helmet, and peace out. His speed to get to the outside is pretty impressive.
Well, that's the thing. That was one of the attributes he had that nobody doubted. He was fast.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Acceleration, coming out the ears. It was the between the tackles ability. But he showed it tonight against a Patriots defense that...
The Patriots defense was missing Van Noy. We know Hightower's gone. That Patriots linebacking core is ass right now.
But they've been playing better.
Yes and no. But Kenyon Drake did it last week against Denver too. And
that is true. And they were
so
top.
This is a trend. I think he's trending up. So yeah, I think I'm with you, Tyler. If I can give maybe a mid second, I think I'd be okay with that.
But I do think I'd rather have Collins over Drake.
Yeah, I think I would rather have Collins too. Just for the pure joy of watching Collins play because he's like a lighter, faster LeGarrette Blunt.
I think
front style.
He is the equivalent to Marshawn Lynch going to Seattle.
Yeah, that's a good comp too. I mean, while Lynch was, he was a throwaway when he left Buffalo.
Yep. And everybody Collins is the did not thing. Want him. Yep. Nobody wanted him.
He runs angry. You can't take him down on first contact. That's a really good comp. I like that, Tyler. Nice work out of you. Let's go to your next observation. What do you got?
This one came off of Twitter. I forgot who said it, but they asked the question, and they accumulated the stats of Marquise Goodwin, and they said, I think it was like the past 4 games pushed out throughout the season, he would have 1,300 yards, and I think 11 touchdowns.
Wow.
and somebody asked the question, is he T.Y. Hilton?
Well, T.Y. And Hilton's never scored double-digit touchdowns.
No, but but that really made me think, and I had no argument against it, especially the way he's playing. I mean, we all love to root for him because he had that, you know, his child.
Oh, yeah. That was a very poignant moment a few weeks ago. Absolutely. Yes. Yeah.
And the fact that he played through that, I mean, any father would know that it is probably the hardest thing.
That was remarkable that he was able to play at that level through that. Yeah.
Yep. But I mean, he's fast as hell. I mean, this guy can run.
He's becoming a better route runner.
Yes.
He's not a one trick pony anymore.
His hands were very skeptical in Buffalo.
Yeah.
And he's
one of the reasons they let him go.
Yeah. He seems to just like pretty much swapped his hands out almost.
Could you imagine if Buffalo still had Sammy Watkins, Marquise Goodwin, and Robert Woods?
Wow.
Oh, wait.
Yeah.
Oh, I love the Bills.
I honestly think that he is going to stick with San Fran. They will get another player to go opposite side.
Sure.
And man, like he's so cheap. I don't think people are actually on board with him. People probably think, oh, he's the only guy in town. So
he's a one-hit wonder.
Yeah. They're going to get Garcon back.
True.
But honestly, I think he's for real. And I think you could probably get him for a third, which is nuts.
And having Jimmy G really unlocks his Goodwin skill set too.
Oh, Jimmy G. Oh.
No, he's good.
He's good.
He's real good. I think we traded the wrong quarterback.
He's so handsome. Wait, what'd I say?
I don't know. I got lost in the shuffle. So my next observation, and I agree with you on Goodwin, is I think Antonio Brown, not only being just a ridiculous human being and the best wide receiver in the game, don't at me. I think that's pretty obvious, though.
Ever?
Incomplete. He's still got a ways to go. But
he's
I think
play until 38.
I think he's still extremely undervalued in dynasty startups. So we in that startup that I referenced, and I know it's early and there's a lot of things going on, but I had the number 3 overall pick. Number 1 went Hopkins. Number 2 went Odell Beckham Jr. I took Antonio Brown 3rd. I don't care that he's going to be 30 years old. He could be the next Jerry Rice because
that's what I think.
He never gets hurt. He's a precise route runner. He's got amazing hands. He's just to watch some of the catches that he makes is phenomenal. And for me, if I'm starting a dynasty team, I want the player that has the safest floor, in my opinion, in all of fantasy, and that's Antonio Brown. I know that people are concerned, oh, what if Roethlisberger retires? Oh, like they're not going to get a quarterback somewhere. Roethlisberger's not going anywhere, let's be perfectly honest. I don't care if he says, well, I just don't have it anymore. They've lost 2 games. He's not going anywhere. So Roethlisberger will be back at least for the next couple years. They'll figure something out at quarterback. And Antonio Brown, has he struggled with other quarterbacks? Yes, Landry Jones. Okay, sure, you got me. But they'll figure something out at quarterback. Maybe it's an Alex Smith in a couple years. Who knows? But Antonio Brown, to me, 3rd overall, I had to do it. He's the safest player. You can take a running back there. Like, hey, you can take a Zeke. Well, all right, well, what if he gets suspended again? You can take a Le'Veon Bell. Well, what if he has another lower leg injury? Oh, you can take this guy. What, David Johnson? Well, what if that offense sucks? Like, there's lots of question marks, but I think when I'm taking a first-round pick, I want to try to take the safest option possible. And at number 3 for me, it was Antonio Brown. What are your thoughts?
I love it. And like you said, Jerry Rice. And the thing I love about Antonio Brown, his route running is so good, he's always got the open space. He never takes a huge hit because he's so good. As soon as he catches it, if they're going to go high, he can get low and just drop to the ground. If, you know, they're going to go low, he can juke. He's got that much space when he catches the ball.
Yep.
And he never takes a gigantic hit. I mean, even
when he does, he still holds onto the ball for a touchdown, like in that Cincinnati game.
Yes. And honestly, God, that is the first time I've seen him get rocked. And I thought of that when that happened. I'm like, man, that never happens to
him. Well, that game where Burfict hit him across the middle, was it last year or the year before?
Oh, yeah, yeah. When he got hurt.
He got hurt there. But other than that, he doesn't take contact. He reminds me in that respect a lot of Torrey Holt.
Okay, so
You never saw Torrey Holt take contact. Now, the biggest knock on Torrey Holt is he would catch the ball and he would fall down. But guess what? Torrey Holt had a really long career. And even with that wonky finger that was sticking in the wrong direction, you ever seen that, Tyler?
Yeah, but it reminds me of Julian Edelman.
Why does it remind you of Julian Edelman?
Because he had that wonky finger throughout the entire playoff.
But Torrey Holt's finger is like perma wonky. Like,
oh,
if you see him on TV, that thing is, it's like Brian Baldinger's finger if you watch NFL Network. Yep. Like, it's permanently, and he played with it like that.
That's hard to catch. It's hard to catch like that.
Yeah, but that, so AB reminds me of that, or a Marvin Harrison. Okay, Marvin Harrison didn't take big contact either because the awareness and the space, and they're just like, they're like on a hypersensitivity level of what's going on around them, and it's very, very rare that players are like that, and Antonio Brown is definitely one of them.
All right, I'm going to mention some names, and you tell me if they will last longer than Antonio Brown.
Okay.
Julio Jones.
No.
AJ Green. Who will also be 30.
I'm gonna say no, because AJ Green's been more prone to injuries. Okay. Not a lot, but he's had some.
I agree with both. Dez.
The foot is healed. I'm gonna go with AB.
Okay. And Larry Fitzgerald.
Cool. I think Fitzgerald's got one more season in the tank. It's gonna be, I think, here's the thing. I think Antonio Brown, he's going to turn 30. I think he can play another 7 to 8 years. And even if he gets into the twilight of his career, kind of like Fitzgerald, like, who's a better slot receiver than Antonio Brown, even at an advanced age?
Nobody.
Nah. So I think I would still go Antonio Brown. I think Antonio Brown is just the ultimate outlier freak of nature that is a once in a lifetime, not once in a lifetime, but once in a generation type of talent that just no one saw coming. It's kind of like a Tom Brady. So no one saw Tom Brady coming because the measurables were terrible. You know, this, and Antonio Brown, he ran what, like a 4.57, and his vertical was, his long jump was bad, and no one saw this coming. So this is the ultimate outlier player, a lot like Tom Brady. Sixth round, Antonio Brown, well, you went in the seventh round?
I think it was fifth or sixth.
He might have went fifth or sixth. I can't remember. But, I mean, it's just these type of players just always amaze me that maybe that's their motivation. Like, hey, you know what? I'm going to make like a Julian Edelman, seventh round pick. Yeah, he's an all pro bowler. Crazy. Yeah. So, Tyler, what's your next observation?
I really don't have any except for running backs next year. I sat down thinking, okay, Le'Veon Bell, I'm going to kind of shoot questions to you. Le'Veon Bell, is he back or no?
I think my gut says no, because I think the Steelers are going to have a lot of salary cap issues. They're either going to have to gut some of the core of that team or restructure the crap out of everyone to get Le'Veon Bell, because he's going to want big money. I think that might be a sticking point. So I'm going to say that Le'Veon Bell, they'll probably end up figuring it out, but my gut tells me that they'll move on.
I completely agree. I think the touches that he has this year,
they're running him into the ground is what they're doing.
It shows me that. And the fact that they haven't used Connor like I thought they would.
Even in relief, like in games that they're up in.
Yep. Makes me think they want to save him. They're actually kind of building his strength, because I think you and I both know that he's not fully recovered from...
He's shown flashes here late in the season, though. Oh, yeah. He looked better than he did previously.
Yes, he looks better than the previous year at Pitt, physically. And I think that's what they're kind of building. They're kind of molding him how they want. And I think they'd be fine with him. That's the thing. I think they'd be perfectly fine.
I think they would be okay, too.
Now, Zeke, where would he be in your rankings as a running back next year?
I would probably have Zeke as my... I might put him as my number one. I love Zeke Elliott. The only thing that scares me is the whole suspension thing. That's going to loom, kind of like Le'Veon Bell, when, you know, the suspension looms over him too if he messes up again. But I think from a talent and situational standpoint, I don't think it really gets better than Zeke.
Okay, yeah, I have him probably in top three.
They're using him more in the passing game too.
But my other question would be, well, where's Alvin Kamara?
I would probably have Kamara. I would still have Zeke, Le'Veon. I would probably still have DJ and Gurley ahead of Kamara. I mean, the thing with Kamara is he's still going to be sharing a workload with Ingram. I don't think Ingram's going anywhere. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see, because Breeze is 38 years old. Ingram will be a free agent after next season. So Kamara could be real sexy now, but in a couple years, that situation could be touch and go.
Yeah, and that's my worry. But I mean, it's tough not to rank him within the top, I'd say, 6 or 7.
I would have Kamara after probably Fournette as well, and Dalvin.
I think I'd have him over Fournette just because that ankle scares me.
Yeah. I mean, I like to have the workhorse back. I want at least one bell cow on a team. And I think Fournette is that guy. And yeah, I'm scared about the ankle too. I've never been a huge Fournette guy, but just from a guy that can get, you know, he has the upside, but he can also get 20 plus touches. In this, the startup mock that I referenced a couple times already, Alvin Kamara went pick 3-1.
Okay, that's not bad. I thought he'd be earlier.
Super flex tight end premium, mind you. Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, that's the equivalent of probably like a mid-second.
Yeah. Yeah. And he went after Dalvin Cook went 2-5.
Okay. And I agree with you on Dalvin Cook. I still think he could be top five. And I probably would rank him in the top five. I have him still as my top rookie running back, even though he's hurt.
Yeah, I mean, we're both Dalvin truthers till we die, so.
Yes, we're going to die on this hill. That's right. Other than that, for observations, I mean, right now I'm just looking at teams and kind of looking at future players. I saw Julian Edelman on a free agent waiver wire this weekend.
Really?
And picked him up. It's a contract league. He had 2 years left. Very cheap. I picked him up, threw him on the IR. It's moves like that you need to look at. A lot of people kind of drop players like him. You know, just, I'm not going to use him. He's old. He's old and busted. They got Hogan. Oh, well.
Yeah, well, guess who's Tom Brady's favorite receiver?
Yeah.
That's the kind of veterans you want on your team if you're trying to win.
Yep. And it's stuff like that you got to kind of watch out for. Mm-hmm. People kind of clear space and kind of look at their rookie picks and say, okay, I need to cut this guy. I'll just do it now. Oh, well. So
I've made that mistake. I look back at some of my rosters, like in Capitalist Pigs 2, and I'm like, oh, I cut this guy. And I'm like, I should have just waited it out because that was dumb. Why did I do that?
Like TJ Yeldon, you don't know if he's going to be on a different team next year.
Yeah.
There's a lot of players that you sit here and you look at and you're like, man, the situation could be better. I know a guy in a league said that Moncrief was dropped in a couple of his leagues. Yes. And they are like non-salary. None of those issues.
That's bananas to me.
Yeah, me too, because, I mean, his stock could go way up. So pretty much my other observation is look at the free agency. I know we have an episode in the past about the 2018 free agency. I think we did that one with Pano. But go back, listen to that. We kind of go over some free agents that could be. I know Alshon isn't anymore. But, I mean, it's going to be a fun off season. I know We're only in week 15 talking about off season, but if you're out of it, that's what you got to do. You got to look at your team and kind of be prepared for next year.
Trying to project the best best of your ability. So one of my observations is kind of a player that's like that. So we saw Zach Ertz not play this week, and Trey Burton came in, had 2 touchdowns from Carson Wentz. And every time that Ertz has been out, Trey Burton has played really, really well. Well, Trey Burton is a free agent at the end of the season. And I think that someone is going to pay him. Maybe it's a tight end needy team, like, say, a Jacksonville or a Denver or one of these
Washington
teams.
Because Jordan Reed is always hurt.
And Vernon Davis is old. And Niles Paul is, too. But, yeah, I mean, Trey Burton could get paid. I don't think the Eagles are going to be able to afford to bring him back as much as they might want to. So that's a player like, hey, if Trey Burton's if you don't have a trade deadline, I know this probably wouldn't be the ideal time to trade for him because he just had 2 touchdowns, but that's a name to keep in mind, especially, you know, as before free agency hits, that, you know, in a couple months when people forget about the 2-touchdown game that Trey Burton had against the Rams, that you can pick him up pretty affordably. And that might be a tight end one, because both Tyler and I know the tight end position has been an absolute dumpster fire the last 2 seasons. If you don't have Rob Gronkowski, Travis Kelce, or Zach Ertz, it's been touch and go. Hunter Henry's had a few good games in a row. Outside of that, I mean, you've seen flashes from Evan Engram. You've seen David Njoku. So there is some hope out there, but it's been really tough. So why not try to get a guy like Trey Burton on your roster? And then, you know what, maybe he hits. And then if he doesn't, you didn't invest a lot in him. But when if he does hit, then you feel great about it.
Yeah, and the piggybacking off that, there are a lot of tight ends that you can just look at and be like, the tight end could be super deep in a year or two. I mean, Adam Shaheen, there's a lot of players that are kind of like catching my eye and like, oh,
Yeah.
I can't wait for him to actually eclipse that third year. So
yeah, it's a waiting game with young tight ends. So yeah, absolutely.
And Njoku looks great. OJ Howard, that was a little observation.
I'm all about Jonnu Smith, baby.
Yeah, I love Jonnu, mm-hmm. and I think he's going to be a very, very good player. Kittle, he looks like one of those scrappy tight ends.
From Iowa. Of course he's scrappy.
And we can't forget about Jake Butt coming back next year.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Jake Butt, he'll be active. Yeah, so maybe Denver doesn't get Trey Burton, but hey, whatever.
Yeah, so maybe just kind of look at your waiver wires, and you'd be able to grab Butt.
It's all about grabbing the Butt. So I've got two real quick hitters for you before we wrap up. And my first one is, I think Jay Ajayi is a player to watch down the stretch whose dynasty value could really increase. So if you're looking to possibly sell him after the season, I think his value might be at not an all-time high, but pretty, pretty good. I know Ajayi had a lot of buzz coming into this season, just didn't really fit well with Miami. You know, there was some stories about him not being happy and this, that, and the other thing. So they traded him to Philadelphia. Well, this was the first week that Jay Ajayi pretty much had the backfield to himself. He saw 15 carries, had over 80 yards. And I think down the stretch here, the Eagles are really going to rely on the run game because, let's be honest, Nick Foles is Nick Foles. But they face the Giants, the Raiders, and then the Cowboys in week 17. So he's got three really good matchups. So if you're looking for a player that could really increase his dynasty stock, especially going into 2018, because LeGarrette Blount probably isn't going to be retained. So it's going to be some sort of Jay Ajayi, possibly a Darren Sproles return. He said he wants to come back. And a Corey Clement. I didn't forget him. Backfield, I think that Jay Ajayi could lead the backfield in 2018. Obviously, Carson Wentz, Tyler will be back in 2018. We just don't know if it's going to be beginning of the season. I think it will be. You know, Joe Flacco tore his ACL late in the season and was back. I think Carson Wentz is, he's younger, and I just think he's, you know, he's got that Midwestern mentality. He'll come back.
He has nothing better to do but hunt and do therapy.
Yeah, he'll be up in like a tree stand working on his ACL. It'll be awesome. And last but not least, the player that I really want to acquire in the offseason is Peyton Barber. I love what I've seen from Peyton Barber. Last year, he looked heavy. He looked slow. He looks like he's probably dropped 10 or 15 pounds. He's put on some muscle. He looks like a different player to me. And, you know, Doug Martin came back from concussion. And, of course, Turd Cutter is like, oh, well, Doug Martin's our starter. Players don't lose their spot because of injury. Well, how did that work for other teams, Dirk? You friggin' turd. So Doug Martin goes in the game. He's ineffective. He fumbles. They yank him. Peyton Barber comes in. Looks pretty good. I think Peyton Barber. Now, if Tampa Bay doesn't draft a running back, I think they're going to be all in on Peyton Barber. Cut Doug Martin's ass and his expensive contract. Get rid of him. At this point in Doug Martin, you know what you have. He's not anything special. He's not the Doug Martin we saw a few years ago when he had I used to call him the sandwich seasons. He had one good year, bad year, then another good year. That was Doug Martin. I think he's toast. So I like Peyton Barber. You can get him dirt cheap, and he has the potential to be a starting running back in what should be hopefully be a good offense next year. So he wouldn't cost you more than, I wouldn't think, a third-round pick.
I could see that. I mean, a third-round pick isn't much. But yeah, in Auburn, he was considered a day two type pick. I mean, he had talent. He just left early. And
when he probably should have, yeah.
There wasn't much tape on him. I mean, he had the year the year before he came out. And then the story, of course, you know, his mom was homeless. He needed to go to the NFL to get her money. But I completely agree with you. He looks thinner.
Yeah, he looks like he looks more electric in space. Like, I don't remember him being able to get to the outside as successfully as he's been doing it this year.
Nope. And I've tried storing him on, you know, taxi squads and all that, but he is definitely a player I would try to look at. And like I said, he's got talent. He should be back there next year. Charles Sims is gone.
Gone. Jaquizz Rodgers, who cares?
Yep.
I wouldn't be surprised if they draft a back.
Me neither. You know. But it all depends on the round if it's going to be Peyton Barber next year.
Yeah, I agree with that. So I'm still willing to take the plunge with a third round pick to find out though. So that's the kind of player I want to try to invest in, is someone that I think has the upside. The situation looks to be good, and he looks good on the field. Yeah, so.
Carlos Henderson too. Don't forget about him.
Oh, it's a great buy right now. So that is going to wrap us up this week. I did want to let you know that we are brought to you by the Sitter Start app. So make sure you go on your App Store, Google Play, or the iTunes Store. Type in Sitter Start. Go ahead and download that. Use code DHH. It's an awesome app. You can compare players. They're right over 70% of the time, over 12,000 comparisons every single week. Jason and his team of Jason is doing a phenomenal job with the sitter stat.
I want to add on to that. I heard nonstop on Twitter, don't start Russell Wilson. Don't. It's going to hurt you.
When I did my sitter start pod, I was like, you start Russell Wilson.
And that's the thing. I went on sitter start, and I typed in him and Goff, who I had. And I swear to God, there is a sentence in there that said, are you stupid? You start Russell Wilson.
See? Sitter start is legit.
It is. And that's actually the reason why I won that week, is because I actually started Wilson over Goff.
See? Results-oriented database analytics, algorithms, you name it. The sitter start ad is awesome. Make sure you go download it. Use code DHH. Let them know what you heard about it. That's going to wrap us up this week. I have been your host, Doug Eddy. You can find me on Twitter at TheFantasyFather, and you can find Tyler Gunther at DHH underscore Tyler. He's nodding. Yay.
You got it.
So hopefully you made it out of the woods in the playoffs, and you are advancing to your semifinals next week. So as always, if you have any questions, hit us up on the Twitter, and we wish you the best of luck. Get that championship, boys and girls.
I'll see you.
That's all the time we have today for the Dynasty Happy Hour. If you're looking for more fantasy football advice, be sure and follow the guys on Twitter. Find Tyler at DHH underscore Tyler. Follow Doug at The Fantasy Father. And finally, John at Empire FFL. Follow us on Twitter at Dynasty HH Pod. Music is brought to you by the fantasy hitman, Mike Wright. We'll catch you back here next time for the Dynasty Happy Hour.